Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick Martin. Nick, how are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic. Man, I'm excited for today's show. I say that almost every single time, but I swear the excitement levels, they go up and up and up. So when I do tell you that I'm excited, you got to trust me that I am very, very excited for today's guest on the show today. He is a very, very talented musician, singer. He has most recently appeared on The Voice season 22, and we all know he should have took the title, not just the old top five. Please welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Omar Cardona. How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for having me on the show. This is really, really cool. I love what you guys are doing
here. Oh, we appreciate that, and we love what you're doing. Now, you kind of threw me for a loop here, Omar, because the very first question, the rite of passage on Dadcast, the question goes is, are you a dad?
Yeah.
See,
look at this guy.
Exactly. He's amazing. And as I told you off the air, you take the title of the first guest we've ever had on who appeared and will continue to appear on the show with his child. That is so cool, man.
Thank you. Yeah, say hi, buddy.
So tell us about him. What's his name? When was he born? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So this is Luca Leandros Cardona. His initials are LLC, so he's our little business.
Right.
He's our little business.
It works great during tax time. Trust me, you're going to reap the benefits.
Oh my gosh.
It already has. Yeah.
The first time. Yeah. It was pretty incredible what they gave us in return for having a human being.
Right. Know? Makes you want to have more just for the benefit.
Absolutely not. No, one and done. I'm good. He's amazing. He's so cool. He was born December 5th. Which was actually the day that I sang on the show on live television. It was an emergency C-section, so I wasn't able to be there in time. And I sang my whole video package for that week was about my girlfriend and our relationship. And I sang My Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
Okay.
And it so happened to be this. He was born a couple hours before I sang on television. So it was a pretty stressful day.
Did you know that this was happening when you went on?
Yeah, I got a FaceTime from her. We knew it was going to happen. They were like, we need to induce labor.
Right.
And he was breached. So he was like he was like upside down, Faced the wrong direction. So they're like, we got to get him out of there. When he was born, she FaceTimed me and there was a baby on her chest. And then they were like, basically, it was like, places, get ready to go live on television. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
I'm good.
That must have been, it wasn't enough pressure to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
And then you've got forget shows and music and winning things. The most important thing in the world in your life was happening and you weren't there. Man, that's another one of the questions I asked throughout the show is, were you there and how that story go? You've answered that one. Amazing, man. That is a good looking little fella you got right there, man. Yes, he is. Isn't it the greatest thing in the world?
Yeah, truly is.
And since you're not far gone from it, can you take us back to, say, November of last year? You know you're going to have a kid, but you didn't realize until, afterwards, the change in emotions and everything. How was it for you in that whole process?
We actually have a pretty crazy story. We actually didn't know that he was coming. So we found out because she was so little and he was so little.
Right.
We didn't find out till she was 36, 35 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
Which is insane. Literally, we found out on Saturday that she was pregnant. And then 2 days later, he was born. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. You know,
so we found out December 3rd and December 5th. He was like, I'm ready to be here, guys. So he was supposed to be born in late January, but he came on December 5th.
I hate to throw out like the obvious, but there's certain things that happen to a woman's physiology.
Yep.
No questions were arised when, that didn't happen.
We did, but we also she was still menstruating. She was still getting her period and everything.
Weird.
And she wasn't showing very much. And she wasn't having any like physical pains or anything like that. So, and it wasn't until she started getting pains where she was like, something's up. And she rushed to the hospital while I was in LA filming. Right. They were like, oh, you don't have any pains in your stomach. You have a child in your stomach. So it was like, and then she called me, was like, hey, we're pregnant. And I was like, holy crap. So I called my dad immediately. He was the first person I called, completely panicked. I was like, I'm in California. What do I do? Like, and panicking, you know, trying to figure out what the best plan of action was for us. And, you know, and I spent about maybe $6,000-$7,000 in one night, and Amazon, and just bought everything on Amazon and shipped it everything to the house. I was like, we're so behind, you know.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah. So how was that emotionally for you? Because normally we got like 8 months to let this soak in. And as a dad, as a first time dad, right? This is number one.
Yeah.
That must have been you, poor guy. I mean, all of a sudden, hey, guess what? And in 3 days, bam.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I feel like it was best it happened this way because
right? Okay.
I am such a spontaneous person. I like to do things out of the whim. So, I didn't have a moment. I had a moment where I panicked with my father on the phone, and I was just like, but he just was so happy and excited to have another grandkid, that it was like, dang, why am I panicking? Everyone in my family are so excited.
That's amazing. And is your father, is he present and good and good dad to you?
Oh my, yeah, he's probably the best dad in the world. Yeah, he's such a great example. And I never actually wanted to have kids because I was like, there's no way to measure up to how great of a father my father was, you know? So I was like, there's no way, you know? And I've lived a pretty wild, extravagant life, you know, traveling as a singer, you know, around the world. So I was like, it just wasn't in my plan at all, but you know, it's that saying, you tell God your plan, and you don't want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Right.
And it's, so that happened.
I find that as fathers, I don't think we ever really truly plan on it. It's very rare that you got the wife and we're going to try and we want to, it's more often than not, it's like, hey, guess what?
Yeah. There's so many videos of people of women just showing their husbands the pregnancy test. It wasn't they went together. It was like, oh, surprise. I just saw one recently where it was a popsicle and he was sucking on the popsicle and the stick was the end of the pregnancy thing.
Right?
He was like, what is happening? And it was pretty crazy.
That's a good one. Nick, I'm sorry, man.
Kind of gross. Cause you actually pee on those things. So theoretically the poor guy just, lick pee.
But, yes. You know, theoretically, that didn't really work out the way.
Yeah. I guess she wasn't too pleased about being pregnant, and this was her mild was her comeback, payback. I guess.
Yeah. Thanks, jerk.
So that's pretty cool, man. You too, Nick and you, Omar. He's got a baby girl, Sophie, born 3 months. What's her birthday, Nick?
May 20. No, not May 28th. That's Liam's. Oh, my God. February something.
Okay.
February.
I have 7 kids, man. I can't remember the dates.
You have 7 kids?
Yeah, and check this out. I want to tell this story because, you know, Nick, not like I talk enough,
by
Nick.
By the way, I want to be just like him.
You want to be just like who?
Nick Cannon.
I'm trying to
populate the world, you know?
Nick was done. He's got a kid who's, what, 25 now? And
he was 14 at the time.
And he was finished, done. He went as far as getting the boys cut. And, I'll let him take it from here.
And nature.
I got remarried and my wife didn't have kids and she was kind of like, I want to have kids. And I'm like, sorry, babe, that ship sailed. It's not going to happen. And she convinced me to get unfixed. So I went and had the procedure to get the reversal thing done. And we went through IVF and had our almost 3-year-old now. And then we just had another baby.
Wow. Congratulations. I think
we're done. I'm hoping.
But it's amazing, man.
It's awesome being a dad, but it's hard, man. It's like, it's a lot harder than, and it doesn't matter how many kids you have. It's a different ball game with each kid. And it's like, oh my gosh.
So yeah, now, man, it's really hard.
Now that LLC has arrived and is, at the forefront of everything, your life, how is that, do you see affecting what you do for a living? Is it, you got a good system at home, a village for you to still go travel or just take them with you? How do you foresee that happening?
A little bit of both, mainly the village part. And my girlfriend is really amazing. And just my family, her family, just the people, all our friends, you know, his godparents. Like, we have a lot of people that are just so willing to take care of him and watch him. And I still travel. Like, I'll be in Miami and California this weekend. for a few days, flying back and forth. And then I'll be in Canada for like three weeks. So, and granted, it's literally all for him now. You know, everything was for myself before, and now I just go to make money for him, which is incredible. But I get to still do what I love, which is a blessing for me. And I'm lucky enough to be able to make enough money to take care of all three of us, you know, and it hasn't, my workflow hasn't changed. It's just more, I'm more motivated than ever.
Good.
To make
right
money, you know, to make money with my content and my work and my plan for music and stuff. So just to give him the best life possible and, you know, and secure the bag for him.
Honestly, yeah, yeah. But speaking of securing bags, behind your head, there's a button. Little plaque that's got a million subscribers. Tell me what channel that is.
That is a group called Voice Play. It's an acapella group, and they do extravagant video music videos online. And I have done like 5 features with them over the course of the last 2 years. And I've sung with them. I've traveled with them when they do corporate events and sing at events around the country.
I know it well. I know that channel well. So it's cool. They sent you one of those?
My roommate just joined them as well.
Oh. So
they sent us one of the plaques because they got the a million subscribers before my roommate joined. So that's been kind of a long time coming for us to get that plaque, which has been really cool to have in the house.
Yeah, I bet, man. I don't want $1 million. I don't want extravagant houses and cars. I literally want one of those because with one of those, all that other stuff comes right along with it. You know what I'm saying? Kind of, exactly. Not really, a little bit, but we're getting there.
There's definitely a flow of money that comes in when you get stuff like that. It's more consistent, you know.
Right. And our channel here, Dadcast, the YouTube channel is literally the smallest number of all the social medias we got, and we're over 10,000 now. So 100 grand's coming, and that'll be the first play button we get. So. Hopefully. Yeah. Now that Omar's on, maybe a wink, wink, collab, nudge, nudge, share, do what you got to do when this is done.
Yeah, I'll definitely share.
That'll do a boost.
I just got to 57,000 on YouTube, on Instagram, which is pretty cool for me because I'm like, I just do content as it comes to me. You know? So I don't really have a schedule because I travel so much for work. So it's cool. I'm just trying to be as consistent and give my fans, you know, as much content as possible, you know, throughout the week and stuff. So
now your next stop, you said California, back to Florida, Canada. Yeah. Is that part of a solo thing for you, a band? What?
So I traveled to Miami on the 17th, and I'll be singing with my band. And then from Miami, I'll fly to Huntington Beach, California, which then I'll be by myself in Huntington Beach singing for like NBC, some corporate clients for NBC. And it's just me singing a few songs for them.
Cool.
And then from there, I'll come back home for like a week. And then that's when I'll fly to Canada, Kingsbury, Canada. And I am doing an original musical. And it's a Air Supply musical. It's like a jukebox musical. That's all. It's the Midsummer Night's Dream portrayed through music by Air Supply. So, and I'm like the narrator of the show. I play the character Puck, and it's never been done as a stage production yet. So it's a couple friends of mine that have been on Broadway and done the New York scene and television scene. And they just asked me to be a part of the show, and I'm kind of excited to do it.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. And awesome. Air Supply music is awesome, you know, so I'm stoked to be able to sing that type of music. You know, I love rock music. So that's kind of my, you know, that's where I sit comfortable.
That's your forte. Where is home? Where do you live? Not like the address or anything, but you know.
My P.O. box number is, I live in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, right. Yeah, so I did a little deep dive on who is you on the old interwebs. And
I'm sorry.
No. What really piqued my interest was the time you spent working for Disney. Now, was that actually working as a character in the park?
No.
Okay. No. Did you work in the parks at all?
Yes.
Okay. What did you do for them? Or is that a secret and you're not allowed to tell?
No. I can absolutely tell you what I did. I was actually a singer. That was my first job out of high school. I hadn't even graduated high school yet. I went to an audition and they hired me to sing in the High School Musical show. That was like a,
right.
It was like a, it paraded out, it parked. We sang songs from High School Musical, the movie, and then we paraded out, you know, so, and then I did probably about 10 to 15 different shows for Disney. I did Finding Nemo, the musical, where I portrayed Crush the Turtle.
Nice, you know, bro.
Like, righteous. You know, the song, and I'm like, righteous, you know, and now I have my own little squirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And then I've done like some, my band plays there for the Epcot, like rock and roll festivals and stuff like that. My band plays at, on the American Gardens stage in Epcot. I've done recordings for Disney. Like, if not that we get out there often, but if you're ever in Hong Kong in Disneyland Hong Kong, watch the fireworks show and you'll hear my voice on the fireworks show. I'm like the solo, featured soloist for the whole project. So
the odds of that are actually pretty up there, Nick and Omar, because my lady is the biggest Disney freak I've ever known. And apparently, and she just let me know this last night, I've been planning on this summer's vacation with my family. And of course she says, let's go to Disneyland. I'm like, we've been there four times in the last year and a half. And she's like, well, we could go to Disney World or Paris or Hong Kong, because we are going to do all of those before we die. And yes, hon. So yeah, the odds are good. It's going to happen.
Dude, if you do, you have to take a video. And if you get to watch the fireworks show at the castle show, you have to take a video for me, because it's a dream for me to go out there and see it all.
Yeah.
It's just like been a long, I mean, it's hard to get out there, you know, and.
And it didn't get any easier about 3-4 months ago, right? 5 months ago.
Exactly. Yes.
But when that little man turns about five, that's the good age. Five, yeah. Six, maybe even four. That's when you can take them to Disneyland. They'll retain those memories, and they're not quite, they're little sufficient, you know. You don't have to, there's not 24/7 care in it. It's a good time to take them to Disneyland, so I'd highly suggest that. Nick, I've taken everything. Go. I'm giving you the nudge.
Yeah, tell me. So tell us about your band. Like, so I looked at the voice stuff, dude. You killed it. Like JP said, you should have won. I don't know what America was thinking, or if it's rigged, or it's probably rigged. Who knows?
Who knows? We have no idea. It's just hard to be country music fans, you know, and
show,
their main viewers are all country music fans. So I'm not that genre. So that box. So, but I don't, I'm happy for the winner. That's my boy. He came to Orlando. He got to meet Luca. You know,
oh,
he came
awesome.
To my home and we just hung out, you know, had a couple of drinks and I drove him around, showed him around town. So, you know, we, especially the top five, we were very close together. So, and we just wanted to put on the best show possible, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what is your band? What do you guys do?
Yeah. So, the band is called Epic Party Band. It's mainly geared towards corporate. We're a concert band. So we sing stuff like, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'll do Michael Jackson. I'll do Bruno Mars. We'll do stuff like, you know, I'll sing Christopher Cross. You know, I'll do Journey and Bon Jovi and stuff like that. So, we travel around. We're local. We're based in Orlando, and our flagship is Metropolis Productions. And the owners of Metropolis Productions are actually in the band with me. One is the lead singer, and then her husband is the bass player. So we just do events all around town, and you know, whenever we can. And you know, now it's a little different because I'm not a part of the band anymore because life's a little different. I'm like an add-on for the band. So the band is their price, and then they add me on with my price. So it's things are a little different, but we've been working for 10 years together, and that was my main source of income before The Voice happened and stuff. So we would do close to 7 to 8 gigs a month, and that would cover everything, you know, that I needed. So, and then I would do independent contracting stuff on the side. So
sweet.
Nick, have you noticed how much of a friggin' natural this guy is?
I know, he's killing it.
I mean, just your first kid and you just whatever, but bad, still carrying on conversation, dude. This isn't easy. A lot of guys can't, you know, they never catch on, or it takes a while to, you know, but you're just, it's like,
I still catch myself with Sophie. She starts fussing. I'm like, babe, there.
Yeah.
Take her.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying, man. It's all instincts. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, like, no, you had a good, you know what you're doing, man.
Yeah,
you had the best dad in the world to show you the way, whether you realized it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely trained me, man. Definitely, I was like, oh, you know what? This is what pops would do. I call him pops.
Yeah.
You know, this is what pops would do. So I'm very lucky to have him in my life.
That's awesome.
I interrupted you, Nick. Sorry. I tend to do that.
That's all right. Now I got to get back to my train of thought. So how has like life changed since The Voice? Like I know, like I've had friends that have been on The Voice. I've had friends that were on some other.
Manny Cabo is our boy.
Manny Cabo, Cassidy Pope. And nice. You know, I knew Cassidy back when she was in Hey Monday, and like, you know, she did The Voice, did the country thing, and then she's getting back into pop punk, which is
nice.
Cool. But it's like everything changed a lot for her once The Voice happened. Even though she didn't place very high, she was. It's still like changed a bunch.
Yeah, it definitely changed. My life is it's familiar, but it's completely different. It's familiar in the way that I've always been doing music as a career. I've been doing it for 15 years. That's my only job that I've ever had was singing. So that part is the familiar part. It's more now that I make a 3 to 4 or 5 times more than I used to make, which is a blessing. So I don't have to work as much anymore. So I get to spend time with him, which is awesome. And getting noticed in public is a little bit different for me. And, you know, I wanted this to happen when I'm 34 years old, and I wanted it to happen in my 20s. And I kind of gave up on the dream of becoming nationally known and, you know, a semi-celebrity. I wanted that to happen when I was younger. I never expected it to happen at this age. So when I'm walking and to Publix, you know, the grocery store, and, you know, some lady's staring at me and, you know, she asked me for a picture, it's still very new for me. And, you know, and I'll take the time to talk to anybody because it makes them happy. It's only a few minutes out of my day. And, you know, I remember the dream of wanting this to be a natural thing, like my lifestyle. And I finally get that at an age I didn't expect it. And it's probably because I can handle it now more than I probably could have when I was younger. So I appreciate it. And life is way different now. I get to pick and choose on the projects I want to do, you know, and before there was, I never got to do theater, for example, before, because just no one would hire me. And now I get to just do kind of whatever I want, whatever passion projects I want. And it's driven me to do original music as well, because of my fan base are like, we want more music. When's your album coming out? And I'm like, you know, I never planned that
right
before. And now I've been working super hard the last 3 months on original music, and you know, we're getting so close to releasing some stuff, and it's been really incredible, you know, just kind of shift in my career, and you know, adding the little guy on top of that. Oh, he's tired.
Yes, adding, he is.
Yeah, adding this little guy on top of that was just like, it was perfect timing, because prior to the show I was busting my, you know, I was working really hard 3-4 times a week to really, and in at late hours to really make money. And, you know, and now I don't have to work that much because, and so I get to be home with him quite often, you know, even though I do go away for a couple of weeks, I'll spend a couple of weeks at home doing absolutely nothing or just making plans with him. So life is so different now. And I used to party a lot. Like I used to party a lot.
Did we all did, man?
Gone.
Yeah, I know. I was reflecting on that. You know, there was a time in my life where if you didn't see me out of the bars, people would be like, where's JP? Now you see me at the bar and you're like, what are you doing here? It's like, yeah. It's, and I just went, you know, it shifted all, you know, it slowly shifted when I became a dad. Now, granted, I'm considerably older than you, but I got a late start when it comes to being a dad, but
me too, yeah. I guess, right?
Well, I was 36, 35 when I had my first.
Yeah.
34,
man. I'm
34. There you go. Yeah. You're not Nick, though. Nick was like 73, right, when you had your first kid or your last one? 17. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, you're going to be 73 when your youngest is 21.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be in the nursing home, and she's going to have to come visit me.
All right, Omar, you can play a show with any artist, living or dead, that you have not previously played a show with. Who's it going to be, and where is it going to be performed at?
I would absolutely perform with John Bellion. He's my favorite artist currently. He's been my favorite artist for a few years now. But
he agrees.
Yeah, he's amazing, and I would do it in New York City. He's from New York. My family's from New York. And I mean, it's a dream to be out there, to move back out there and live in Manhattan. And, you know, it would be sick to sell out, MSG.
Oh yeah.
That'd be sickening. So, and his concerts are just so cool and I love his music and stuff. So
John good answer. Bellion. There you go. Are you a sports fan?
Yes. I'm watching the game tonight.
Okay, dude. You watching the Laker game?
I am a Laker fan.
Yeah, buddy. Me too. All right, here we go. AD needs to not have one of those off nights, because if they don't win tonight, I'm not so confident they're going to win this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the corgi.
Yes.
Fortune or whatever it happened. So, and you know, it would be kind of poetic for Steph to come back from 3-1, just as LeBron did
right
many years ago. I think it would be kind of incredible, you know, and etched in history for sports history as one of the most incredible stories to come back.
Right. Well, let them do it next year, not when they're playing the Lakers.
Yeah, not this year, because I am a Laker fan.
Yeah, all right. Who's your football team?
I just watch football. I don't have
okay. Baseball?
Yeah. Yankees.
Okay. All right.
I'm a Yankee fan. Yeah, I'm a Yankee fan for sure.
No problem there. I'm a Dodger fan. I'm hoping Dodgers Yankees one day make it to the World Series together, because that not only would be incredibly good for the networks.
Oh my god.
It would be
so much money.
It would be fantastic. Imagine catching a game both coasts. That's bucket list. Maybe. If it happens, it's going to happen for me.
That's probably so exhausting for the players.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Flying back and forth. You know, those flights are not easy. So I know that's probably exhausting for them. So and the whole staff, honestly. So
that's why I hope the Knicks don't win this thing. But flying to Miami, if the Lakers get to the finals anyway, it's still a pretty long flight.
Yeah, true.
Anyhow. That's true. I guess who else is that? Anyway, enough sports talk. Nick.
It would be honestly pretty cool if Miami and Lakers.
Right. They can rehash the whole bubble.
Yeah. Jimmy Buckets.
And he's so good.
That would be pretty cool.
He's so humble too. He's like, no, I'm not playing any different. Bro, look at your stats. Okay. You are full of it. You are absolutely playing differently when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, for real. Sure.
Have you had any difficulties yet as a dad? Raising your son? I know it's only been a few months, but is there anything that sticks out in your mind was like, whoa, that's a little harder than I thought it was going to be?
Yeah. The poop smell, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, Breathe through your mouth.
I'm like, I put a like a scuba mask on. You know? No, but that and I'm a night owl. I'm like, I like to stay up late and play video games and watch my favorite shows. And, think what's kind of crazy for him, he gets up at like 7:30 today, and that's my shift. 7 to like 1 o'clock is my shift, you know. So getting up early with him has been pretty tough getting used to it. But and I wasn't a coffee drinker until this guy came.
What's going on then? It's 4:30 in the afternoon in Orlando. That's not your shift, man. Where's mama?
Yeah. Mama's a little busy. She needed some time away. She was having a moment where she was like, I need to go on a walk. And I was like, I got him.
Okay,
go.
Bye.
Bye. No. And another thing, which is pretty insane for this little kid, he has profound hearing loss.
Oh.
So we just got his hearing aids in, and he has up to 100 decibels of a deficit in hearing. So what he can hear normally would be a lawnmower. That's right. Something that he can audibly hear normally. So he is a candidate for cochlear implants.
Okay.
And that's going to happen when he is of age and after they do the MRI to check his anatomy for his ear to make sure that he still has the nerve endings in his cochleus.
Right.
So, but which is insane because I always was like, my ears are my gift as a musician, as a singer. It's not my voice, it's my ears that I can hear music so well and understand it, you know. So he hopefully someday he'll get that feeling as well, and he can appreciate the music as I have, you know. And really, which is kind of insane. It's just crazy that I out of all the people, I had a son that's partially deaf.
Yeah.
And which helped me. I've started learning sign language, you know, and my sister's a sign language interpreter, which is pretty incredible. He couldn't have been born in a better family because her kids sign. My brother signs as well. She signs, of course. And her husband's family, they have a deaf sister in the family. So it couldn't have happened to a better kid, you know, a better family, you know, right. That he's lucky that he's going to learn sign language and he'll be able to communicate with other people in that family. And that doesn't happen very often for kids that are born with profound or hearing loss or with zero hearing.
Right. Well, with those implants, man, if he's a candidate and it works out well, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at, you know, it'll be like nothing.
Yeah, we've learned that some kids take them out. They just don't want them.
Yeah.
Because it's a magnet, so it's not attached. The magnet is underneath the skin. So they don't, and a lot of kids, they remove them and, you know, they don't like using them. So we're going to give him every choice possible and, you know, just let him do what he wants, you know, and just at least get him integrated into the normal community and society. I guess that's what they kind of say.
Gotcha. So. Look at that face. I think there may be a diaper change in your near future, Omar.
Oh, dude, it is full. It is full. Oh, man. I can smell the urine.
Oh, all right. Well, we just got a few more minutes and we'll let you get to that. Nick, did you put together a fast five for Omar?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, we're going to go off the tip of our heads then. Question number one.
If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be?
Ooh, man. Just for laughs and giggles, I would put my father on a billboard, you know, with a bunch of tools, you know, and like and trying to sell something just for shits and giggles.
All right.
And I think that would be pretty hysterical.
Mr. Fix It or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you had any like parenting fails at all in the last 3 months?
Besides every day. I think honestly, I feel like I'm doing pretty good.
Man. Good answer, man. But
I think I'm doing pretty good.
They're coming. Don't you worry.
I'm going to tell you why I asked that.
No one is undefeated in this game.
Yeah.
I have. So without my seven kids, three of my kids were born within like a year and a half of each other. So I'm have the great idea of taking them all to Walmart when there's an infant and two toddlers, right? I get the two, we're done shopping. I get to the car. I'm like super tired, stressed out. Cause when your kid starts talking, you're at Walmart, it's a nightmare. So anyway, so we get the two toddlers in the car. I load myself in the car. I forgot the baby in the car seat in the cart and I'm driving away. That's my biggest parenting fail. I almost left my little infant at Walmart in the parking lot.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Luckily, some old lady smacked my car and was like, hey, you left your kid. And I'm like, oh, you want
my gosh.
Nick,
no, I've had moments where I've forgotten that he's existed, you know, but he's just in like the swinging chair thing that he has for himself. And I'm like, and I'll like get up and I'm like, oh my God, that's right. There's a baby there.
I have a baby.
There's a dude there. He's just chilling, you know, but.
Nick, I don't know if I've ever shared my parenting fail, and I'm going to share it with Jen. It's my lady on the podcast. I don't think I've ever shared this story, but before we lived in the house we do now, I lived in an apartment, and it was this particular apartment was second story. My daughter, who's going to be 10 in like 2 weeks, she's my youngest. I think she was about 2.5 to 3. She was still wearing diapers and just learned how to walk fairly decently at this point in time. But so we're at the apartment and mom's there, older sister's there. Sawyer's running around doing something. He's probably 5 or 6 at the time. And I says, I got to go to the store real quick. See you guys. And I didn't make sure Avery was secure or in the house proper. So I left. I'm literally gone 10, 15 minutes tops. Come back. Hey, everybody. Check one, check two. Hey, guys, where's Avery? What do you mean, where's Avery? Like, what do you mean? Ha, ha. Where is the baby girl? Search the house. She ain't there. Freak out, right? So I'm like thinking, where could she have gone? And if she did go anywhere, first of all, she went down a flight of stairs by herself with no handrails. And we're talking steep stairs. Not your typical. These were like crazy steep. Long story short, I found her at the pool. with a bunch of other people, okay, mind you. But to get to where she had to get, she walked down the stairs, down a sidewalk, up another flight of stairs, around a fence to the front gate area of where the pool area is, at the vending machine, because baby girl, when I found her, said, "Daddy, M&M's." Ah. And she always hang out there when we would go to the pool together. So anyway, freaked out, you know, and she was in her diapers, mind you. She's literally walking around. So I'm walking up to these people like, "Oh, there's my daughter." Like, you know, giving me dirty looks like, "How dare you let your little girl out of your sight and made it all the way here? What if we weren't here? She could have fell in the pool." That was the scariest moment of my life as a dad right there. And, and anywho, that's my fail. Okay.
Terrifying. Oh,
yeah, I know. Right. All right, Nick. So you did. Wait, we're not going to ask the "what do you feed the kid" question, because at this point it's either formula or boob, and we don't need to know that.
Yeah, exactly. I make a mean bottle.
Yeah, right. All right, then. Omar Cardona, the man, the myth, the legend, the most important question. And I think this one's going to hit home. Sneaky suspicion it is, because you are literally the guy to ask this question to. I ask it of all my guests on the show. And that question is, if you were to impart one piece of advice to any new father or expecting to be father, what is that advice going to be?
Oh my God. I would, hey buddy. man, that's a tough one. I would say, don't hold your breath. Breathe through everything, and you know, just do what has to be done, and make sure on the back end, you know, you don't dismiss everybody that's helped you along the way, and you know, just love on your kids as much as you can, and yeah, just be a good person, you know. So, because be a good role model.
That's there what you I go. Want. All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is Omar Cardona. He has appeared in The Voice season 22, the most recent season that finished up last year. He should have won the whole damn thing, but he did end up in the top five. We are a little bit biased, mind you, here on Dadcast. If anyone is interested, and by if, when someone is interested, look at that balance. Come on, Dad. Yeah.
Whoa. Come on, buddy.
That's good stuff. My best one is still when you throw them up and they get the picture, and then you Photoshop it. They're like 10 feet higher, and mom's, "Oh my God." You know, that's the best one. For anyone interested in you and your life and your music, what is the place, the one-stop shop, all things Omar, for them to get that info?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Omar Jose Cardona, my full name. And The Voice did get us verified, so it's pretty cool. I should be the first one that pops up. So Omar Jose Cardona.
Follow nice. Me. There you go. For everyone watching, wherever you may be listening, however you may be watching, thank you so much for tuning in and checking out this episode with Omar Cardona. For everyone else who is not interested, we don't care. It's all good. Omar, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. Thanks for introducing us to LLC. He's awesome. Yeah. He's amazing. It looks like you're doing real, real well so far, man. I complimented you a couple times earlier, but I think this dad thing, it suits you, man. Like, it fits you like a glove. I think it's going to be great. Wait till those first words come, and then those first walking, and then the first time he tells you to F off. That's a fun one. There's all these, there's all these milestones that are yet to come, and we're here for it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate you so much. It's so cool.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you more. All right. So everyone watching, make sure you check out this episode. And next week, we'll catch you for another one. Have a great rest of your day, night, whatever it may be. And again, thank you. We love you. Subscribe. Do all the things on social media. Like it, comment, all that stuff. And we'll see you next week. Thanks. Take care. See ya.
And check out our brother podcast, The Rockstar Dad Show, with Jared and Gary from Bowling for Soup.
Yes. Peace. Jared, I'm sorry, man. I always, I guess I'm, it's my bad. All right. See you.